Okay, thank you very much. First, I want to post from the Codex I know is I want to thank all of you for coming. First of all, HaKoras HaTov, I just want to thank especially Eitan Kasevitz, who's over there, who really did all the arrangements in terms of the flyer and organizing with the REITs office and all the other powers that be. It sounds like a lot simpler than it is, but he really, as always, persevered, and it's very much appreciated. And also Aaron Brooks, who put together the flyer and is always so helpful in all matters. Both of them have been my assistants all year long, and it's been a pleasure to work with them, and I appreciate the effort that they put into the shiur tonight. This is the third yahrzeit of my father, Zecharno Lebracha, Rav Dov Ber Ben Meir. I want to acknowledge, of course, the family members who are here, my wife, who always so supportive, and families, some of the children, and my brother and his wife and their family members, and everybody else who came, and understandably a very difficult time preparing for Pesach, and especially the way that it falls out this year, with the Shabbos right before. So it's really appreciated that people make the special effort to come out to give kavod to the memory of my father. So the theme of tonight's shir is the topic, the theme of Eretz Yisrael and the role that it plays in the Seder and the Haggadah and the holiday of Chag HaMatzos. And, it's also a window into the general relationship between two pillars of Yahadus, two events that were transformative, two dimensions of Jewish life that are indispensable. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, which is so ubiquitous, so pervasive in all mitzvos, a comment that the Ramban makes, we'll talk more about the Ramban a little bit later on, in the end of Parshas Bo and throughout his Perush on the Torah, whenever he speaks about Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, which is so ubiquitous in the Torahs, and surprisingly in some cases doesn't seem to be connected to the tochen, to the substance in which it is connected. And the Ramban is hypersensitive to that issue and always underscores the special role of the implications of Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. He contrasts it with Brias HaOlam, etc. On the one hand, and then of course Knisa La'aretz and the role of Eretz Yisrael in our lives, the central role that Eretz Yisrael as the national homeland of the Jewish people plays. And I picked this topic because all of us, understandably and appropriately, are very absorbed with everything that's happening in Eretz Yisrael, in a time of crisis, and the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride of emotions, from worry and concern and even panic, to elation when there are nisim and neflos, that protect Klal Yisrael. But there's no time to celebrate because we're still in the middle of a very significant crisis. So all of us, I think, are very much absorbed in the current events as we should be, and of course that provides impetus to gain further appreciation for the pervasive role that Eretz Yisrael plays in our lives, even if we're not there at the moment, even if we don't necessarily live there. But the central role that it plays for all Jews is something that is brought to home, sadly, that it has to be brought home in times of crisis and persecution and danger. But the fact is that that status, centrality of Eretz Yisrael in all aspects of halachic life, as the centrality of Yetzias Mitzrayim in halachic institutions, is just a tenet of Torah life. And therefore, objectively, it's always important to analyze this interrelationship. The first Rashi on the Torah in some respects, is already identifying, you know, the rivalry, if you will, or at least the duality of Eretz Yisrael and Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rashi begins by suggesting that the Torah didn't begin with HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, which of course introduces Chag HaMatzos and the focal point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that instead it chose to begin with the Bria in order to establish Koach Masa Higid Liamo, our rights to Eretz Yisrael. So right from the very beginning, at least in Rashi's perspective, there is this rivalry, but a friendly rivalry, a complementary rivalry in every way, a mutually enhancing relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is crystallized particularly in the holiday of Chag HaMatzos, along with the bringing of the Korban Pesach, and the role of Eretz Yisrael. So while this is objectively always an important theme and topic to examine, and we'll look into some aspects of this evening, certainly current events, you know, plays an additional role in the choice of the topic. And the fact that this is a Yahrzeit shiur that is dedicated to my father's memory, you know, is a third equally important element as well. My father, Zecharo Livracha, was somebody who was a religious Zionist, a passionate religious Zionist, all of his life. And there's a very actually inspiring interview that he gave on, I think, Wayu Torah, towards the end of his teaching career here, in which he was asked to reflect upon, you know, the state of the campus and how people responded, you know, when in 1948, when Medinat Yisrael was proclaimed. He was here as a student at the time, and I remember his description of it personally, but he shared it with Talmidim here, and I believe it's still online. People tell me they still they listen to it and they're very inspired by it. But my father really spent all of his life as someone who was not only supportive but really passionate, as I say, about the central role of Eretz Yisrael. He identified very strongly with the Mizrahi movement, and he was very involved in that movement as president of Rabbinical Council of America. One of the achievements that he was most proud of was the fact that he intensified relationships between that organization and Eretz Yisrael, and particularly the Rabbanim and the Rabbanim Rashiim at the time in Eretz Yisrael. And I'll speak a little more about this in the end as well, but this was a central aspect of his life from the beginning, and I think all of us remember it, you know, in a very in a very decisive way. It had impact on our family, on the community, on the larger, you know, scene in Klal Yisrael. So let me introduce the topic, you know, with a small anecdote. My son Avigdor, Rabbi Avigdor Rosenzweig, who, you know, is has a very special way of arguing sometimes, very charming, but also he's a strong advocate of his positions. So one time, you know, in the, you know, throes of his enthusiasm, having just made Aliyah, you know, and returning from Eretz Yisrael, you know, to spend Pesach with the family. So his theme of the evening, partly I think is a foil to his other grandfather, my father-in-law, who's also a strong advocate of his own positions. My son Avigdor declared and continued this argument throughout the evening that Kol HaHagadah Tzionut, that the entire Haggadah is all about Zionism. And then he proceeded to try to, I guess, find any reference that he could and build his case, again, in his own very special way. So while I unequivocally reject the idea that Kol HaHagadah Tzionut, as a matter of principle, not a principle against Zionism, but a principle advocating the almost exclusive focus of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the event, the occurrence, the experience on the night of the Haggadah. Having said that, I'm strongly opposed, those who know me, to the idea of relevant Haggadahs or special themed Haggadahs that don't seem obviously to integrate with the almost exclusive focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a Holocaust Haggadahs and social justice Haggadahs, and I'm sure now there are woke Haggadahs and all sorts of other Haggadahs. I'm very, very wary of that. But having said that, the central role that Eretz Yisrael plays in a very subtle way in the halachos of Pesach and in the Haggadah and in the Seder is something that is very intriguing. And I thought we would examine a little bit of that evidence this evening as a way to appreciate the central role of Eretz Yisrael for sure, even when its impact is subtle, and of course the real complementary relationship between the themes of Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the one hand, and Knisa La'aretz and the promise of Knisa La'aretz and the concept of Eretz Yisrael as the corporate headquarters of the Jewish people on the other. So let me begin. First, just to explain a little bit more quickly but fully what I mean about the almost exclusive focus of the evening that should devolve on the details of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's clear that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is different than Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, there's a whole topic in its own right and a very vast literature to explain what this relationship is. Every day there's an obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And according to the Ramban, I alluded to it before in Parshas Bo, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is really embedded and integrated into all sorts of experiences and mitzvos, even when it's not obvious at all. Mezuzah and Shabbos and all sorts of things. The Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, has a very celebrated piece in which he suggests that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim reflects certain principles of the faith, certain tenets that make it an indispensable point of reference even when the subject matter, substantively, has nothing to do particularly with the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He contrasts in numerous places. I mentioned the end of Bo because that's maybe the most extensive and famous one where he addresses this issue very directly. But, even in other contexts, the Aseres HaDibros, when he discusses the question that troubled many of the Mefarshim, why does it say Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim instead of saying Asher Barasi Shemayim Ba'aretz? Others ask it, could have said, Shanosati or Shani Nosei Nasatorah. Why the focal point on Yetzias Mitzrayim? Again and again, the Ramban comes back to the idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim reflects not only belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam's omnipotence, in his existence, in his omnipotence, and in his omniscience, but also establishes his role in the world, the concept of Hashgacha, and especially the unique relationship, intimate relationship, direct relationship with Am Yisrael as an Am Segula and with individual members of Klal Yisrael. And certainly, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim focuses very much on the implications of Zechiras, of the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam as well, albeit this is a pattern, what the Ramban does very explicitly, the Rambam does very subtly. The Rambam codifies the obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Yom, not as a separate mitzvah saseh, also a decision that commanded a lot of attention and controversy. Why is it that the Rambam didn't invoke Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day as one of the Taryag mitzvos? Instead, as Reb Chaim pointed out, he integrated it into Kriyat Shema. The Rambam's view is that the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema every day includes not only the first parsha, but all three parshios, and especially the third parsha, Vayomer, zeroes in on the principle of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in a way, by choosing to integrate Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim into the mitzvah whose dominant theme is Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the combination of Yichud Hashem and Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, something that the Rambam actually counts twice. One is Yichud Hashem and the other is, you know, Shema and Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. By integrating it into that, the Rambam essentially, like the Ramban, with a different emphasis, and now's not the time to analyze the differences, the subtle differences, but the Rambam, in his way, was suggesting that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a critical idea in the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Avodas Hashem. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I'm not going to go into all the differences, but many of the differences that are underscored by the Mefarshim, I believe, reinforce this distinction. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just the takeaway, what it is that we extract theologically or philosophically or even nationally, you know, from the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's really about reveling in the event itself. And the Rambam uses this expression, you know, again and again in Yad HaChazaka. It's about ma she'ira u'ma she'kara, the actual events themselves, the experience. And that's why it's a seder. There's an organized, calibrated approach to telling this particular story in order to, you know, accomplish a certain comprehensiveness, but also to put into context the different, you know, dimensions of the actual story that unfolded. Of course, at the same time, it's supposed to have a deep impact on our halachic psyche, on the way that we relate to issues in Avodas Hashem. But the method, in this case, is not to extract the implications, it's to zero in on the event itself and on the experience itself. And therefore the Seder, like the Seder of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Rav used to note that there are two Seders. There's a Seder of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and there's a Seder, you know, the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whenever there's a Seder, the calibration, you know, the organization, the structure, the details become very, very critical. The concept of reenactment in the context of the Higadot al-Bincha, you know, Vosanu Hotzi Misham, and especially the Rambam, famous formulation, Chayev Adam Laharos Es Atzmo, Kihilu Hu Atzmo, Yotza Ata Mimitzrayim, with the extra emphasis of the Atzmo and the Ata with an ayin, and the Atzmo, to all establish that this is really a demonstration of the experience itself. The fact that the timing is intended to be calibrated to events that really took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the discussion of the Yerushalmi between to explain the positions of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether or not the first half of Hallel should include, you know, both sections or only one section, Hallelu Avdei Hashem and B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. The idea of B'shah, Sheyesh, Matzah, Umarar, Munachim Lefanecha, there's no Tosefes Yom Tov. Everything has to be calibrated, you know, according to the event itself. And the multiple modalities, something spoken about in the past, the fact that you tell the story in so many different ways highlights the story aspect and the experiential aspect as well. You tell the story through words, you tell the story through, you know, Divrei Torah, when you're Doresh, we'll get to that in a moment, the Parsha of Bikurim. You tell the story through Maisa Mitzvos. I always point out that Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah is about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Perek Ches overlaps quite a bit on some of the details of Perek Zayin, but it's told not from a story point of view, but from a Maisa Mitzvah, you know, point of view. We say Kolam Marbe Hareza Meshubach, a strange, you know, perspective for a religion that focuses on quality, not quantity. What do you mean? The more, the best. Usually, you know, the best is the best, not the more is the best. But I once saw the comment, which I think made an impact on me. I'm trying to remember who actually said it, and that is that, you know, if the event occurs to you, then kalabar b'hareza meshubach. Then the enthusiasm, you know, and you become very loquacious when you speak about it, because every detail, you know, is not redundant or boring. It's not superfluous just because it doesn't add necessarily value from a theological or philosophical or even technical halachic point of view. You revel in every detail because it was an experience that you underwent, you know, as a nation being part of the collective of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, there's no detail too small. And kol amarbe, when you have the capacity, your enthusiasm, your personal connection to the event itself, you know, justifies kol amarbe, then that really is meshubach. It highlights that you've truly accomplished in a qualitative way. You've identified and you have integrated yourself, you know, into this ancient event, which, you know, to you is completely relevant. There's a discussion about whether or not to include, you know, the complete enumeration of the miracles in the Haggadah or not. You know, how many miracles there were? There were 10, there were 50, there were 250, you know. So it's a little bit, you know, peculiar. And some of the Gaonim already took some of it out. But again, if these miracles happen to you, collectively to you, as an individual being part of the collective you, then every miracle, you know, every, you know, ballistic missile that you shoot down is another miracle, and it's something which you appreciate in a very spectacular way. Indeed, the whole structure of the holiday of Chag HaMatzos really revolves around the actual event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look at the Psukim, this is another topic, and especially if you compare the two 7-day holidays, the holiday of Sukkot and the holiday of Chag HaMatzos, both are 7-day holidays. They're connected in so many different ways. Tesvav, Tesvav. There are halachic consequences to the parallel between them. And yet, as we know, the 7-day holiday of Chag HaMatzos is what I call front-loaded. It's all about the first day. And if you look at the Netziv in HaMikdavar, he points us out, even without him, it's clear. Basically, it's a 1-day holiday that stretches for 7 days, because the event itself is what's important, and you just are, you know, in the aftermath or the afterglow, you know, of that event for the entire week period. Masha'in came in contrast to the holiday of Sukkot, which, you know, in which, as the Gemara says in Masachan Erechin, you know, as we know, it's chalukin b'korban oseyem. That's why you say independent halal every single day. There are many nafkamina, a very favorite topic of mine, between the Chol HaMoed of Pesach and the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, all connected to this idea that every day of Sukkos is some independent aspect of the Chag, whereas Chag HaShavuos is all about that first day. Indeed, you know, the concept of Lina, you know, the fact that you leave after the Yom Tov, topic which one of my sons is, you know, very celebrated for. So that in itself highlights this special status of Tesvav, the idea that it is a day which, even beyond itself, you can't celebrate it too early, but once you've experienced it, you can't leave it behind either, you know, at least not for another week. And on terms of its implications, you never leave it behind. Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. So from that point of view, it is clear that the focal point of the Haggadah of the Sipur needs to be specifically the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why, you know, one who draws lessons too early, in my opinion, undermines the potential to draw greater lessons later. I'll get to that in a second. And he undermines that, you know, concentration, which is part of the halacha of the Seder of the Igadata Labincha by Yom Hahu, B'Shah Sheyesh, Pesach, Matzah, Umaror, Lefanecha. Having said that, there are a few cracks, you know, in the, you know, in this structure of a totally exclusive focus on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Number one, there are several psukim that even in describing the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim already look forward to Knisa Le'eretz Yisrael. There are several of these psukim. I'm not going to go through all of them. But if you look, for example, at the pasuk in Bahar, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi eschem mi'eretz Mitzrayim, loseis lachem es eretz Kanan, lios lachem le'lokim. It's hard to know whether, you know, this is a pasuk about Knisa La'aretz, you know, that also mentions the role of Yitzias Mitzrayim, or the opposite. You know, it's a pasuk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, which nonetheless finds it necessary to refer to Knisa La'aretz. Ve'vesi eschem, which is a pasuk that we'll speak about more extensively in a couple of minutes, is specifically, directly connected to the role of Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel Hey, this is number four in the Mar Mekomos, V'hayaki v'yakha Hashem el Eretz HaKnani, V'yabarito Asavoda Azos Pachodesh Azeh, a reference to the fact that we're looking forward to Knisa La'aretz. Again, you could read these psukim, most of them, in a very innocuous way. You could say that you know, the impact of Yitzias Mitzrayim will be felt even after you've had other experiences, and maybe a fuller you know, capacity to express some of these ideas will only take place in optimal circumstances, namely in the venue of Eretz Yisrael. So again, it's not so much a projection of Knisa La'aretz as part of the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the focal point of Chag HaMatzos, as much as it is a recognition that, you know, this will continue. It won't be eclipsed by other events. And on the contrary, there will be opportunities for many reasons to maximize the focal point on Yitzias Mitzrayim in Eretz Yisrael. Having said that, if you take all of these psukim together, and there are a couple more, the implication seems to be that even though we're focusing on Yitzias Mitzrayim almost exclusively, nonetheless, there is already a foreshadowing of the role of Eretz Yisrael as something which will not only complement, but which will enhance the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. And that while each will require its own attention and its own integrity, that there will be a, not a rivalry between the two, but a complementary relationship and a mutually enhancing relationship between the two. We begin the Haggadah with Halach Ma'anya, and we conclude Halach Ma'anya, you know, by declaring, you know, Hashata Haka, you know, Lashana Haba Ba'ara Di Yisrael. And again, it's something which is curious, and there are Mefarshim on the Haggadah who pointed out. We begin the Haggadah, we begin Magid with Halach Ma'anya, which concludes with that statement. We finish the Haggadah, you know, the Minna Klal Yisrael, by saying Lashana Haba Yerushalayim Habduya. So, in a way, you know, we can understand this very innocuously. The Grizz, for example, thinks that Lashana Haba Ba'ara Di Yisrael is just a way of being Merames, that, you know, we look forward to the building of the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, where we can partake also in the Korban Pesach. But again, when you look at the cumulative evidence, it seems like the, you know, assertion right at the beginning of the Haggadah of how important it is to be in Eretz Yisrael to appreciate Korban Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, and the fact that we conclude as we do with a reference to Yerushalayim, seems to give credence or seems to reinforce the psukim that foreshadow Eretz Yisrael in this context as well. There are several cracks then in the exclusivist focus of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. One is these psukim and these comments. The other, of course, is the idea of Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. The Gemara in Psachim records a debate whether or not we begin the Haggadah Matchilim Bignus Misayim and B'Shevach with Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, or Avodim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. That seems to be very consequential to the claim that there is an exclusive focus on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Betchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you know, seems to inject a more universal element into all of this. And yet, clearly, it's considered to be a crucial one, and understandably so. The Rambam in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Halacha Dalet, has discussed other times, formulates the Gemara's conclusion, you know, in a very striking way. Simple pshat is that the Gemara records a debate, and most suggest that there should be like a resolution of the debate. However, the Rambam understood in a very profound way that this isn't really a debate at all. B'tzarech l'hatchil b'gnusa l'sayim b'shabach, keitzad, matchil l'mesaper shebetchilo hayo v'seinu b'mei terach, u'milafanav kofrim v'toin achar ahevel, v'rod fim achar avodos elilim, u'mesayim b'dasa emes, shekervanu amakob lo v'hibdilonu meha'umos v'kervanu li'yichuda. Very beautiful language of the Rambam. So then you would expect that he would say, and after that, we move to Avodah Mayinu Lefar, which is also a problem. But instead, the Rambam, surprisingly, but very profoundly, says, V'chein matchil umbodia sh'Avodah Mayinu Leparu b'Mitzrayim v'chol ha'rosh ha'gemalanu u'mesayim b'nisim v'niflo sh'nasalanu u'b'chei ruseinu. And then he adds, which I'll get back to in a few minutes, V'hu sh'yidrosh me'arami ovid avi ad sh'yigmar kol ha'parsha v'kolamosif u'marech b'drash parsha zu harei zeh b'shubach. So the Rambam basically suggests this is not something that you would default, you know, interpret if you just read the Gemara. It sounds like there's an argument and you should make a decision one way or another. You know, the Rambam seems to suggest that there are two beginnings. There are parallel beginnings to the Haggadah. Meaning there's a, you know, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah focal point on Emunah. And then there's more specifically the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which begin with Avodah Mayinu. In that respect, the Rambam is telling us that, of course, even with the exclusive focus or the practically exclusive focus on the event of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we can never lose sight of what makes it significant. The reason that we revel, you know, in every miracle and in every detail, in the ups and the downs and the, you know, psychological roller coaster, all aspects of it, is precisely because it isn't just an event, you know, about national liberation, but it's a national liberation for the sake of becoming a nation that embodies the commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, meaning the principle of Avodayhem v'lo avodim la'avodim, hallelu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei paro. And therefore, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah, if there had been a true contest and there was a decision to start, you know, with avodah mayinu, you know, as the tchila, then it would seem like mitchila ovdei avodah zarah was out of place. But what the Rambam is telling us is that, of course, the point of mitchila ovdei avodah zarah is that even as you, you know, immerse yourself in the minutiae, in the details, the event of Yitzias Mitzrayim, understanding not the theological implications, but understanding what is important about this experience in terms of the shaping of Klal Yisrael and its emunah, which of course is the theme of Korban Pesach, is critical as well. So there's an opening in the Haggadah when we are focused on Yitzias Mitzrayim, but providing a perspective or a dimension about Yitzias Mitzrayim's not just theological, but also its more religious and spiritual elements. It's possible that this also connects a little bit to Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Griz, who I mentioned before, has some interesting comments, you know, on the Haggadah, is purported to have, you know, integrated the pasuk in Bishalach and the pasuk in Bahar, which I mentioned earlier. Again, the pasuk in Bishalach tells us that Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? Yitzias Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Leilokim, meaning Yitzias Mitzrayim as a foundation for emuna, for rejecting mitchila over the avodah zarah. But then when you take it and you juxtapose it with the next pasuk, which is the one that appears in Vayikra, in Bahar, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, but instead of going straight Lios Lachem L'Elokim, that's why I boldened it, L'Seis Lachem Es Eretz Kenan Lios Lachem L'Elokim. And some suggest, to quote the, you know, Chazal, which also appears in the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Kuf Yud, a very radical statement, which probably shouldn't be understood in its most radical way, but needs to be understood and has implications. And that is the line, Kol Hador b'chutz la'aretz kimi she'in lo eloka, Kol Hador b'eretz Yisrael kimi she'yesh lo eloka. So this doesn't mean, you know, that living in chutz la'aretz, you know, means you're oved avodah zarah, obviously. But it does mean that there is a dimension of emuna that is specifically accessible, or more accessible, or maybe only accessible, one element at least, only when you live in Eretz Yisrael, only when you live a maximal life, only when the individual is integrated into the corporate life of Klal Yisrael. So that mitchila ovdei avodah zarah, being an important element and not a contradiction to the almost exclusive focus on Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, reveling in the events itself, may already foreshadow, through this expanded Ani Hashem Elokeichem and the role that Eretz Yisrael plays, we'll talk more about this going forward, it already may foreshadow a more expansive role for Eretz Yisrael. This idea obviously takes on further significance and support when we consider that the text that is, you know, examined under a microscope for the sake of Talmud Torah and Drasha in the Haggadah is the Parsha of Bikurim. Why did the Haggadah choose to focus on the Parsha and Bikurim as opposed to the Psukim in Parshas Bo and earlier? After all, the unfolding of the event itself would seem to be a better choice for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, especially for the perspective of Ke'iluhu Atzmo Yatza Ata Mi Mitzrayim, than the Psukim all the way in Parshas Kisavo. This is a question that Mefarshim ask, including the Abarbanel. Some of them suggest that the common denominator is the principle of Hoda'ah or Hakaras HaTov. In the first Yahrzeit Shir that I gave in memory of my father, I spoke about the role of Mikra Bikurim and suggested something a little bit different, something up his alley as well, namely that the Parsha and Bikurim reflects historical perspective. Sometimes when you undergo, you know, an experience, obviously you're trying to survive it, you're caught up in the excitement of it and the terror of it, both. It's only sometimes with a, you know, measure of objectivity, whether it's a geographic or temporal, that you can fully appreciate what it is that transpired. And therefore, the Parsha of Bikurim, Dafka, because it is in Eretz Yisrael, years later, the true appreciation, the reconstruction of the event and its implications is more accessible. However, I'd like to suggest a third idea. And that is that Bikurim represents the muvhak expression of mitzvos Eretz Yisrael. If you look very carefully at the parsha in Kisavo, I'm not going to go into the details, but Yakisavo al Aretz, it almost reads like a drum beat. You know, Yakisavo al Aretz, what you do is the mitzvah of Bikur. And while there are some, the Farshim, who suggest a narrower read, they suggest it's a mitzvah of Bikurim, it's about Hakaras HaTov, you're successful in your, you know, crops, you should give, you know, reishis to the Rabbono Shel Olam, and, you know, the Shiva Saminim are Shevach and Chibas Haaretz, so it's also an opportunity, you know, to highlight that aspect of it. But I think if you read the Psukim carefully, and according to some of Farshim, I think this is very clear, and that is that it's not just, you know, Hakaras HaTov and additionally the opportunity to express Shevach or Chibas Haaretz, but that the Hakaras HaTov is for Eretz Yisrael itself. And it's expressed also through bringing the first of your fruits. It's Vayaki Savo El Aretz, it's kind of like a crescendo. Bikurim, and that's why there's Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim. Bikurim, in some respect, is different than any other mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz. It's even questionable whether it comes under the rubric of mitzvah Hatluyos, you know, Ba'aretz. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Pei Aleph Omid Aleph says, "Asher tavi me'artzecha lema'et chutz la'aretz." The reason that Bikurim is not brought from chutz la'aretz is because of the pasuk "Asher tavi me'artzecha." And the Bali Tosis asks, "Why do you need such a pasuk?" We have a rule articulated in the Mishnah and Masachet Kiddushin, and that is any chovas karka, any situation which is, you know, built into the or connected with the soil, is a mitzvah that has to be connected to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mishnah in Masachet Kiddushin. That's right. Trumos and Maestros and Shemitah, all of them are connected to Mitzvah Hatluyos Ba'aretz. So the Bali Tosis explained that the Mitzvah of Bikurim is unique. It's different. It's really a Chovas Hagavra. It's not really a Chovas Karka. Bikurim is both truma, which makes it a quintessential, you know, zroim mitzvah satluyos type of mitzvah, and at the same time, it's a chovas hagavra. There's no tevel. Again, the details of this are not important at the moment. The Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, when it speaks about the 10 levels of kedusha sa'aretz, you know, has the last, or according to the Rambam, the framework, not even the last. Is Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzos, Misham Mevi'im Omer Shtei Alechem and Bikurim. And famously, the Gra took out Bikurim, because he said, why is Bikurim in there? Bikurim is Mitzvah Satluyos Ba'aretz, no different than Trumos or Maisros or Shemitah. Why would you single out Bikurim? Omer and Shtei Alechem are Karbanos. You know, in theory, all Karbanos could be brought from anywhere. So they're an expression of the sanctity, not of the soil of the land, but of the makom of Eretz Yisrael. But is that true about Bikurim? Therefore he took it out. But as far as we know, there are no actual texts that support the Gra's emendation. And this is an issue that, again, commanded a lot of attention. Rav Zatzal had his approach. But I think that in light of Tosfos and Bava Basra, one could suggest that even though Bikurim is a truma and it looks like mitzvah satliyas ba'aretz, it is the quintessential mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael itself. And that's why it combines elements of, you know, mitzvah satliyos Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim havas makom, and kedushas, you know, hamizbeach as well. In that respect, Bikurim's choice as the focal point of being Doresh of the Talmud Torah on the night of the Haggadah really accentuates the role of Eretz Yisrael. From the perspective, historically, of distance and venue, but also in the context of all that has been achieved since the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the role of Eretz Yisrael and the celebration of Eretz Yisrael constitutes an enhancement of the Igarta Labincha of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And this might explain another phenomenon, another difficulty. Everybody is concerned about the language of the Mishnah, which is even more problematic in the Rambam, which is that when you doresh the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, who she yidrosh me Arami Ovid Avi, ad she yigmar kol parsha. The cholamosif umarich bedrash parsha zu harez meshubach. He pointed out in the past that the phrase that the Rambam uses, that there's an obligation to be marich, to be marbe, in the drasha of Bikurim, that in itself doesn't appear elsewhere. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. It's almost like he's saying the modality of being doresh, the parsha of Bikurim, is one of the parallels to telling the actual story of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. But the phrase ad sheyigmar kol parsha is something that caught the eye of some of the Mefarshim. Because in truth, we don't begin from the beginning of the parsha in the drasha, at least, of Arami Ovid Avi. We start from the words Arami Ovid Avi. We leave out v'higadati ayom, right? Shebasi el ha'aretz. And we don't darshan after, you know, the biyad chazaka. We don't say, you know, the yavienu, you know, el hamakom hazeh. So if we were truly being gomer, the parsha, then we would have been doresh earlier, and we'd continue to doresh a few psukim after. Frankly, there's, you know, a lot of darshaning, you know, and hopefully divrei Torah going on during the Seder anyway. Sure, it wouldn't make such a big time difference, you know, if you started a few psukim earlier or you extended beyond. But the question is, you know, mimanifshach. If we're reading the parsha and we're claiming that we're being gomer kula, then why aren't we being doresh when we're being gomer kula? But I think that the answer is that this is exactly the dialectic that is being conveyed. That on the one hand, you know, we don't want to get off track. This isn't kol hagadah tzionut. Apologize to Avigdor. It's not about Eretz Yisrael. It's about the perspective of Eretz Yisrael and the implications of Eretz Yisrael for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So on the one hand, you know, you should be aware of, you know, in some respect, you should be gomer kol parsha kula. But being doresh is limited to the Yetzias Mitzrayim part, so you have, on the one hand, the full absorption in the events that took place from a perspective and with the enhanced addition of the role of Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time, you don't sidetrack, you don't create a rivalry or a competing you know, theme which distracts you from the focal point. This idea may reflect itself in several other important aspects of the evening as well. Let me mention three of them quickly. The question is whether or not the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is something that is fundamentally restricted or limited to Eretz Yisrael or not. After all, when you think about it, you know, Korban Pesach had its origins in Pesach Mitzrayim. And while there are some unusual aspects of Pesach Mitzrayim, in the end of the day, you know, notwithstanding the differences, that is the origin, you know, Korban Pesach. The second Korban Pesach took place a year later in the Midbar. That too was a critical event. That's where those who were excluded for technical reasons said, Lama Nigara. They articulated the idea that Korban Pesach is so indispensable that their being excluded would diminish them and therefore was unacceptable, intolerable, spiritually intolerable. Megalgul and Schus al Yidei Zakai, for that reason, they're given credit, even though, according to Chazal, it was always an intention to have Pesach Sheni, but they're given credit for it because they clamored for it, they appreciated it, they fought for this spiritual opportunity. Pesach Sheni produced the perspective of Kares. Nothing about Kares in the account in Parshas Bo. It's a fascinating thing to note, most people don't note it. Another thing that often comes under the radar screen is that the pasuk that we recite in Korech, Al Matos Umborim Yochluhu, is not the pasuk in Parshas Bo, which actually says, you know, of Ochlus Abasar Balaila Azet Sli Eshu Matos Al Mirorim Yochluhu, but the pasuk of Al Matos Umborim Yochluhu is the pasuk of Pesach Sheni. We say that in Korach. The Avnei Nezer noted that and found it to be very difficult. So the point is that the origin story of Pesach Rishon, Adshe Yishchetu Eloheim Le'eneim, that magical moment of Emunah, which gave Korban Pesach its special status and its preeminence, even over that of Matzah, in the triad of Pesach Matzah Marar, and the second one, which underscored, again, from the perspective of a year later and in the Midbar, just how important it was, the kares, the formulation, the lama nigara, etc. All this took place in the diaspora. So why would it be, or would it be, that Pesach, Korban Pesach, Dafka requires Eretz Yisrael? Well, the question is, does it? So here we find a very basic Machlokas. If you look in the Mar Makomos here, the pasuk in Shmos, Perik Beis, pasuk Kafei, V'hayoki Savo El Aretz Asher Yitein Hashem Elokem Kasher Diber Ushmartem Esuavoda Hazos. So the Torah again, this is one of the psukim that underscores a different one, as we didn't mention yet. Kisavo El Haaretz. Sounds like Korban Pesach is limited to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, quoting the Mechilta, Tala kosav mitzvah zu bebiyasam laaretz velo nischayivu bebidbar lepesach echad she'asu b'shana shniya v'al pi adibur. The Korban Pesach in the Midbar, in the first anniversary of Pesach, was to establish it and maybe to establish the role that it would play because of the efforts and the sensibility of the Megalgal and Skus al Yidei Zakai contingent. But in the end, that's an exception. Korban Pesach was always intended, according to this view of the Mechilta, for Eretz Yisrael specifically, even though it's a korban with deep origins in Mitzrayim and the Midbar. Kasher diber, what's the kasher diber? The heichan diber is the Mechilta that Rashi's quoting. The hevesi eschem el haaretz, the pasuk that says the hevesi eschem el haaretz in the context of identifying the geula, the different aspects of geula. Beibesi eschem ala aretz asher nasasi es yadi la seisosa la Abraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov v'nasati osa lachem morasha ani Hashem. So it would seem, according to the Mechilta and according to, you know, one understanding of the pasuk, that it's necessary that the Korban Pesach be brought dafka in Eretz Yisrael. And the question is why. Moreover, b'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach b'mo'ado, in the pasuk in Bamidbar, we find some contrary evidence. There, Rashi quoting also the Medrash, Parsha Shabrosh ha-Sefer lo nemra ad iyar lamarta shein seder mukta mucha batora lama lo pasach b'zu she'u gnusan shel Yisrael shekol arba'im shana she'u Yisrael b'midbar v'lo hikrivum ela pesach zeh Bilba. So Rashi's quoting a different medrash, a medrash that says that the reason, you know, that there was no Korban Pesach in the Midbar all the years was Gnusan Shel Yisrael. That spoke to the inadequacy, that was a blemish on the record of Klal Yisrael. And as such, it's, you know, the implication is clear. And that is that fundamentally, Korban Pesach could have, should have, been brought in the Midbar. The Bali Tosfos a little bit try to bridge between these two things. If you look at source number 10, Bim Tomer Lamalo Hikrivu Ishomer Desfir Luketana Dahacha Tomer Kol Makom Shenemar Bia Ein Alach Yerusha V'Yeshiva UbePesach Nemar Bia. That's one reason. Bim Tomer Im Kein Hechikrivu Gam Pesach Zeh. Yeshlomar sha'asu al pi adibur. So Tosas here takes the position, Tosas in Kiddushin, like Rashi in Parshas Bo, that the reason that there was no Korban Pesach the other years is because Korban Pesach is designated specifically for Eretz Yisrael. So then he asks, Vim Tomar, Kivin Shimin Adin lo yalahem lasos, Magnus hayalahem? Like, what's the embarrassment? What's the blemish that Rashi is speaking about? Instead of seeing these as two different traditions, which many Mefarshim do, the Bali Tosfos are trying to bridge between them. This is a korban that should be brought specifically in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz, and yet the abstention, the inability to bring until years later when they entered Eretz Yisrael is a blemish. Ve'shlomar d'hainu gnusam shenishtahu likanes ba'aretz ad mem shana b'pnei avona meraglim ulefikach lo nitztavu v'imo yuzochim likanes la'aretz miyad ayu mitzuvim miyad. Tosa says that the blemish was the fact that they weren't worthy of knisa la'aretz immediately because of the chet of the meraglim. So again, there are two ways that one can understand what Tosa is saying. Either this is a technical point, meaning Korban Pesach is designated for Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, technically, the reason they couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael, you know, reflected poorly upon their, you know, status, whether they, obviously, they were not deserving. And therefore, Lamaisa, there was no Korban Pesach at that point. However, a better way to read Tosas, to integrate these ideas, is that what the Bali Tosas are trying to tell us is that the goal, right upon Yetzias Mitzrayim, was Knisa La'aretz. Not as an independent factor alone, but as a way to maximize and to integrate and to complement Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, and its, you know, benefits. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a transformative moment, and then the next step would be, of course, Maimon Har Sinai, followed immediately by Knisa La'aretz. But not just as an independent factor, which in turn, if they didn't deserve, was a gnus, which in turn impacted on a separate halacha, namely, there's no Korban Pesach outside of Eretz Yisrael. But the very reason that there's no Korban Pesach outside of Eretz Yisrael is the reason why it was so urgent that they immediately integrate the themes of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Knisa La'aretz. Everybody append this. And consequently, being not worthy, it was a setback in integrating the themes or internalizing the themes of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. The Ramban, very characteristic of his broader view of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, side by side his centrality of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, he sees them anywhere and everywhere, both of them, suggests that the requirement of Korban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael is fundamental. V'itachen shehutzrach l'mitzvah zu b'avur shelo nitztavu mitchila ba'asiyas ha'pesach doras ela ba'aretz. This is number 11. D'chsiv ha'yu kisavo la'aretz asher yiten Hashem lachem kasher diberu shmartem esu avodah hazos. V'od ne'amar sham v'hoya kibiyach Hashem el eretz ha'knani v'avaretos avodah hazos b'chodesh hazeh. Achshav rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tziva shiyasu oso kidei shiyazecher gulasenu v'hanisim shenasa lahem v'lavosenu netak lahem min ha'ovos haroim livneim uvneim livneim uvneim l'dor achron v'hine amar b'tchila v'haya kisavo ala aretz lomar she'ein mitzvah zu noheges b'chutz la'aretz l'doros v'achshav tziva she'inagu b'midbar. So the Ramban basically says that the spiritual benefits of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim from one generation to the next and all of the implications that derive therefrom, all of that requires that that be integrated into Knisa Le'eretz Yisrael. The Moshe Zkenim, Balei Tosas Ala Torah, go even a step further and suggest that while normally mitzvos hatlios ba'aretz require that you wait till after the period of yeshiva v'chalukah, When it came to Korban Pesach, that wasn't like mitzvah atuyos ba'aretz. That was something which began immediately as soon as they crossed into Eretz Yisrael. V'mtomar amrina b'chal makom, I'm reading the bowl, shenemra v'hayu k'savo la'acha Yerusha v'yeshiva, v'tema gabi Yoshua, the parsha in Yoshua, it says v'yochlu ma'avor ha'aretz mimachar ha'pasach. Already when they crossed into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't wait 14 years. Hey chasu ha'pesach, ahava kodem Yerusha v'yeshiva, v'lo nischaivu ad b'yasa la'aretz. Yeshomer de'kol makom shenemar bia gabi mitzvah shi'chov ha'saguf nischaivu b'miyah. And so on. So again, you could still take the view that all the Balitosis are saying is this isn't mitzvos hatulios bekarka, and therefore it doesn't require 14 years. But you also may suggest, or certainly it fits in, that really the need for the Eretz Yisrael for Korban Pesach isn't an Eretz Yisrael halakha. It's a Korban Pesach halacha. Korban Pesach is, of course, the equivalent to Bris Milah in terms of defining Klal Yisrael's, you know, uniqueness. It's Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I like to say that Korban Pesach on a Tzibur level is the equivalent of Bris Milah on a Yachid level. Something we spoke about a little bit last year. That's why Chazal have the Hava Mina, that, you know, you might have thought that a Ger Sheniskayer always has to bring a Korban Pesach. That's why both Mila and Korban Pesach are mitzvah asei sheyesh bahem kares. That's why Korban Pesach itself excludes a Reilim. The idea is that Korban Pesach is about collective Klal Yisrael, being a member of the Tzibur. And it's about Hashgacha, and it's about Emunah. All these principles, so rooted as the Ramban so beautifully explains, you know, throughout his Perush al Torah, in Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, are enhanced a giant step further in the context of Knisa le'Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, the Chasam Sofer, when he talks about Bikurim, you know, has a beautiful insight. Says, Bikurim also, it seems like the Torah is like jumping the gun, that they're, you know, kind of describing, you know, the beauty of the mitzvah Bikurim before the 14 years, very similar to what the Moshe Avskenim is addressing. Moreover, he says, Yesh l'dayek b'birchas hamazon, this is in Parshas Kisavo, anu omrim modem anachnu lach, al she'inchalta lavoseinu, Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. We thank the Rabbonu Shalom for Eretz Yisrael. Ve'al Shehotzei Sanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ve'kasha Harit Chila Hotzianu Mi'Mitzrayim. The order's wrong. Achakach Hin Chilanu Eretz Yisrael. Matama Hikdim Shein Chalta. Aval Emes Yorah Darko U'Bezei Yisyashiv Gam Kushas Ramban Ala Sifrei. The Ramban is talking about the Sifrei in Parshas Ekev, which seems to say that mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael are nothing more than chinuch, their practice from when you get back into Eretz Yisrael, something that is obviously difficult to take literally, in the same way that kimish eloka is understood to be a dimension, but not, you know, in its fullness. So what does the Ramban mean by that? He has a whole explanation. Shilei chadashim kishetachsru, kasha eich kamer achakach leman yirbu yemechem al ho'adama. Like, which came first, the mitzvos or Eretz Yisrael? Everything just seems to be mixed up in different texts. It says the Chasam Sofer very beautifully. Aval nirali sha'afal pi sha'avoseinu hishalchu migoy el goyu mimamlacha el amacher. Even though Klal Yisrael were forced to wander, they had to live in Galus. Mikomokob b'chomokob sha'holchu, every place they went, hayalibam, the einam, the Chol Machshavosam El Eretz Nachalosam Ashenos Alehem Hashem Yisparach. Even before they came for the first time into Eretz Yisrael, and even when they were sadly exiled from Eretz Yisrael, their focus remained on Eretz Yisrael itself. V'cheinam Rashvatim L'Paro Lagur Ba'aretz Banu Ki B'chol Rega Hefshari Datenu Al Nachoseinu V'chol Zman Shayadaitim Kach Lo sholat bahem para ugzerosav. V'lachen k'siv v'yamas Yosef v'yachav v'kol adorahu asher lo nisyashnu ele kigerim b'yalmu. V'haynu d'kalmar mikra b'ikurim v'yered mitzrayma v'yagar sham b'msei ma'at k'shahay adayin m'sei ma'at az garuhem kigerim. Okay, nisharnu afilum chas v'shalom v'yavadetem min ha'aretz nikomokum v'samtem dvarai ela alavavchem l'man yirbu yimechem eno schar el adayin mayri b'galus yirbu yimechem alo adama komokum shatem holchem yekom min ha'gosechem Umachshivosechem al hoadama. Elkein arminan moda manachnu lach shinchalta lavosenu yorde mitzrayim hinchaltu lahem eretz hamida bekomakom sheglisa. Ubischusa hotziosanu mi mitzrayim. Vachinami kamar ki savo ela arez asher shevelo kecha nosen lechanachla shetia beinecha kvar kodem biaska shehi nachalaska. Ubechomakom shatasham az tiske biarashta. This, of course, integrates the theme of Bikurim, the idea of foreshadowing Eretz Yisrael, even in Galus, even in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but for the sake of enhancing these particular principles. So those Rishonim who think that Korban Pesach is designed for Eretz Yisrael, even though it was created in Mitzrayim, and it was further developed in the Midbar, in that first year, it's not simply a technical point. You know, it's something that flows or stems from the internal nature of what Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach is all about. And if this is true, then we can understand another very difficult phenomenon that commanded the attention of the Bali Halacha. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Pesachim. And that Gimel on the base. Gemara tells a very famous story. Hahu Armod Avasolik Biachil Pesachim Yerushalayim. It was a certain non-Jew who illegally was eating Korban Pesach, and he was boasting about it. Amar Ksiv Kol Benecher Leyochabal Kor Ora Leyochabal. He was boasting that, you know, even though he's not allowed to, that the Jews are letting him, or he's tricking them, and he's able to eat the best shufri de shufri of the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, Omale Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Bikasafilach Me'alya. Basically, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira tricked him, you know, asked him why he didn't eat the fatty tail part, the alya, which is not something you could eat in Korban Pesach. But he didn't know, so he said, lo. Kosikolkas lahasan emalu safuli me'alya. And then he told, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira told this boasting interloper that he should, next time he goes for Korban Pesach, he should demand the alya. This is a way of like triggering, an FBI investigation into who this man was. So kisalik amalahu me'alya safuli, give me the alya. Amalay alya? Legaboa salka. Omalei man omalachachi, who told you to ask for the alya? They said, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira. Omru mai hai de kamon, what's going on? Bod kubasrei vashkechu darmahu v'katlu. Shochalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, very famous. Shalom loch Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, da'at bin etzibin, umesudaseich prusa b'Yerushalayim. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, you know, you're sitting in your, you know, wherever you are, in the tzibin, but like, you know, you're one step ahead of everybody. You're running the world. You could use Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira today. So the Bali Tosis asks a simple question. It's a little late, so I'll just go to the details of it. They want to know why Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira was such a great man. Why wasn't he Ola L'Regel? Why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? And why wasn't he himself partaking in the Korban Pesach? So the Bali Tosis gives several answers. He was too old. Various answers. One of the suggestions that they make, the ode, is that Inami Nitzivin Chutzlaretzi Kedemuchach B'Sifrei Parshas Re'eh, the ode B'Targum Yerushalmi, that in Chutzlaretz, if you're in Chutzlaretz, there's no obligation to be in Eretz Yisrael for Aliyah L'Regel / Korban Pesach. This is a fascinating topic. I'm just going to give you the upshot. So if you look here on page 3, it seems that according to the Bali Tosas, a condition for being obligated in Korban Pesach is that you live, right, in Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Chutz Laaretz, you're excluded from the obligation of Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah Lamelech notes this. The Mishnah Lamelech in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, number 15, basically says, you know, there's no reason to think that the requirements or the conditions of Aliyah L'Regel apply also to Korban Pesach. These are two separate dinim. And that's why, if you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Korban Pesach, he says nothing about the typical conditions that disqualify, or that, I shouldn't say disqualify, that exempt one from Aliyah L'Regel. Those principles don't seem to apply. Those conditions don't seem to apply to Korban Pesach. And then he says, however, he says, the Bali Tosfos, for some reason, seem to apply Aliyah L'Regel conditions to Korban Pesach. Lo yadati, I don't know where they got that from. And then he says, Od ra'isi l'tosfos shekasvu, there's three lines from the bottom, inami nitzivin chutz la'aretzi, the lo yadati, ma hoil heyoso chutz la'aretz, di l'potra mi'pesach rishon kol shirachok tesvav mil patur, yisvirulei demisha dar b'chutz la'aretz patur l'gamri, af mi'pesach shen yizeh lo yadati heicha isei. He said, I just don't know where Tosis got this idea that if you're in Chutz Laaretz, that you're excluded from the Korban Pesach. There's no makor for such a thing. Sof davar, shedivrei Tosis mitchilasam v'yadsofam tzrichin etzlital. The Note of Yehuda in the Tzlach, the next piece, basically suggests that the Bali Tosis didn't mean any of that. What they meant was that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bamsera was basically exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. Since he didn't have to go for Aliyah L'Regel, so he stayed home. And since he was home, he wasn't within the 15 mil of the Beis HaMikdash, which would make him Bederech Rechoka, and therefore he was exempt for Korban Pesach. It wasn't a direct exemption because he lived in Chutz Laaretz. Since he wasn't coming for Aliyah L'Regel, he was far enough away that he wasn't obligated. The Minchas Chinuch, which I don't have here in the Marmakomos, is scandalized by this idea of the Note of Yehuda, because he argues that, there's no obligation, you know, to try to make yourself available for the Korban Pesach? You're supposed to go out and buy a lulav and esrog, you know, and make sure you have a shofar, but you don't have to try to make a trip, you know, to get close enough to Yerushalayim that you won't be exempt from the Korban Pesach? He's scandalized by it. But if you look at Keren Ora in Masechet Horios, says something very fascinating, and the Baram Shik, you know, says something equally interesting in this connection. The Gemara Horios famously discusses the problem of Parhalim Dover Shul Tzibur. Right? If the Bezna Gadol makes a mistake, and the majority of Klal Yisrael commit an Avera because of the mistaken Psak of the Bezna Gadol, so then the rule is that a single Korban is going to be brought on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. If it's a minority of Klal Yisrael, then each individual brings separately his own korban. That's the rule. How do you define majority and minority? So famously, the Gemara says in Horios that Kahal Yisrael Shabbat Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kahal, Kahal Yisrael Shabbat Chutz Laaretz Lo Ikri Kahal. Meaning, the definition of a tzibur, of a kahal, is defined by the population in Eretz Yisrael. Even if the population in Eretz Yisrael is smaller than Chutz Laaretz, if the majority there are nichshal in the Saveira, you bring a single korban, even if you live in Chutz Laaretz, and the corollary, the opposite, is true as well. Says the Keren Ora, Eretz Yisrael represents the corporate, collective entity of Klal Yisrael. And when it comes to Korban Pesach, the Torah says, the shachatu oso kol kahal Yisrael. Not every individual. It's brought to Kenufya, right? And even though it isn't a Korban Tzibur in the classical sense of the term, like a Tamid or a Musaf, etc., but it's brought to Kenufya, and the Torah uses the expression kol kahal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Keren Ora, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, you have to be in the Mokom She'ikri Kahal. You have to be in Eretz Yisrael. He says, That's what Tosas meant when they said that if you live in Chutz Laaretz, there's no obligation for Korban Pesach. Once again, the idea that emerges is the idea that Eretz Yisrael is an aspect for Korban Pesach, an aspect for Emuna. We'll get to it in a moment, an aspect of Chavos. But let me zero in on one final example to underscore this principle. We mentioned before that the Torah uses the expression Vehevesi. Vehevesi aschem al haaretz asher nasasi es yadi laseis asol Avram Yitzhak Yaakov v'nasati osol lachem bo rasha ani Hashem. Yerushalmi seems to suggest that Vehevesi in theory is also a lashon geula. That the dalet kosos that we drink on the night of the Seder represent the four lashonos of geula. Seisi, Tzalti, Lakachti, so on, Galti. But there's a fifth, and that is Vehevesi. And the question is, what is the status of Vehevesi? Most of us, you know, are familiar with the Arba Kosos. Is there a fifth kos, right, or not? So this question is rooted, I'm going to try to do this very quickly, in the Gemara in Psachim. It's a very fascinating chapter. So, bottom of page 3. The Gemara says in Psachim, Dav Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, based on the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah there says that, let's see if I can find it. Find it. Oops. Okay, second. Eitan warned me. But still working? Yeah? Okay. Just 1 second. Yeah. Is it still working? Oh, you have to doctor it just right, put it just right. Yeah. Okay, we still have the people on the Zoom? Okay. The Mishnah says, Adab Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Psachim, Mozgalo Kos Gimel. You prepare the third kos of the Dalet Kosos. And Gomer Alev Sahalel, the Omer Alev Birchas Hashir. Then the Gemara discusses what is, whole discussion, what is Birchas Hashir? This is the fourth cup. So the Gemara says, my Birchas Hashir, this is the Marmakom Siav here. Rabbi Yudah says, Yahalucha Hashem Elokeinu. Rabbi Yochanan says, Nishmatz Kol Chai. Toner Rabbanan, then the Gemara says, Revi'i, the fourth cup, Gomer Olav Esahala. We complete the Hala. The Omer Hala Lagadol. That's the text. That's the girsa in our printed Gemaras. Then the fourth cup, you are complete the Halel. There are only four cups. And you say, Hala Lagadol. Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto. Divarab Tarf. The Yesh Omrim Hashem Roi Loek. So, of course, it's very fascinating what we say. Mehechan Hala Lagadol. Rabbi Yudah Mer Hodol Hashem Ad Naharas Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan says Shira Malos Ad Naharas Bavel. Right? Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov said Michi Yaakov Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka and so on Ad Naharas Bavel. Lama Nikra Shmo Halal Gadol Bipnei Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Beruma Shalolam Amechalek Mizonos L'Chol Birya. And then what follows is the next paragraph is accolades about the importance and the urgency and the miracle of providing daily sustenance, mizonos. Okay, so that's the girsa that we have. However, and if you look at the Rashbam and the Rashi, and mostly in the Shulchan Aruch, this is the standard girsa that they had. And according to them, there are four kosos, and the idea of Hala Gadol, Hodol Hashem Kitov, the parameters of it are discussed in the Gemara, are included as well. There's no such thing as a fifth kos. It's not mentioned at all in the Gemara, and that's mostly the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rush, in Perek Yud, Simid Lamed Gimel, etc. However, if you look at the Rif had a different girsa in the Gemara, and a different tradition. So the Rif, also here, in the Mar Makomos, you see Rif, Masechet Psachim Chavav Amud Aleph. The Rif says, Revi Gomer Levis Ahalel, The Omer la Birchas Hashir, my Birchas Hashir. Rabbi Yehuda said Yalucha. Rabbi Yochanan said, you know, Nishmas Kolchai. And then we have Tanu Rabbanan, Chamishi, Omer Alav HaLagadol. There's a fifth coast, and on this fifth coast, you recite HaLagadol, Divrei Rav Tarfon. So Rav Tarfon introduced the fifth coast, and HaLagadol is connected specifically to him. And then, Yesh Omer Mashem Roi Lo Aksar, Mehechan HaLagadol, it's Nishmas, it's Hodu Ad Naharos Bavel, and so on. And then the riff concludes, meaning the riff concludes that the minhag olam is that the fourth coast you're gomer alav birchas hashir, and then the fifth coast should be drank and should be connected to reciting hallel hagadol. Oh. So what is this? So if you look at the Balamor, Balamor responds in a very extreme fashion to all of this. Basically, the Balamor's idea is that Rabbi Tarfon thought there were five kosos, not four. And like if you ask Rabbi Tarfon how many kosos there are, you have to change all the music, you know, and a lot of the other, you know, symbolism. Rabbi Tarfon would tell you there are five kosos. However, says the Balamor, we don't paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. There is such a view in the Gemara, and that fifth kos is every bit as important as the four. Presumably it's the Hevesi, focuses on Eretz Yisrael. However, we don't paskin that way. That's what the Balamor says. Anan lo chazin anay min haga ba'al agadol. But according to the position of the Balamor, it's true that Rav Tarfon is the one who thought that halal hagadol is introduced only in context of kos chamishi. Now, libid Rav Tarfon to the islay kosei, the Kaimelan Katana Didan Delaisla Ella Dalid Kosos, Bimratzal Hosif, Kos Kamishi, Velasos, Kurabi Tarfon, Einanu Mo Ninoso, the Omer Lav Mashi Yirtse. If somebody wants to drink more, he can do what he wants. Balamor takes a very laissez faire, you know, perspective. You want to eat more, you want to drink more, great. You want to say more Tehillim, also good. But you don't have to say Tehillim, you don't have to drink more. It has no significance. According to Rav Tarfon, it's omni-significant, as significant as the other kosos. The Hevesi, in other words, is connected to Halal Gadol. Without that being lahalacha, a chiyuv, it's nothing. It's all or nothing, and we paskin that it's nothing. And then he goes on to discuss the problem of shtiyah. However, while that is the view of the Balamor, right? The Ravid, his contemporary in Provence, strongly disagrees. The Ravid says, Omer Avram, Ze lo yoda al mahu kvu, ubevade yesh smach leminag ze bidivir ab tarfon, she omar ki girsas rach veriv, kamishi omar lev hal lagado, u mitzvah lasos kedvarav. The Ravid says, is a mitzvah, it's preferable to do as Rav Tarfon. V'dalet kosos samchu bagada keneged dalet geulos, Lakachti ga'alti itzalti ve'otzeisi, v'ahei kvar somchu ba'agada keneged ve'hebeisi. The Tanakama nami lo yifchesu midalit kosos kamar. The Ravid says, there's a mitzvah, lahalacha, it's a good thing to do, it's keneged ve'hebeisi. It's not true that Rav Tarfon disagrees with the principle of arba kosos. There are four kosos, right, at minimum, and you have an option to add a fifth. The Ravid says, if you don't say halagadol, you shouldn't drink the fifth kos. And then there are others who, quoting the Ravid, or like the Ravid, say it the opposite way. If you want to say hodu l'Hashem ki tov, halagadol, then you have to make a fifth kos. This is very, very intriguing, right? Number one, what is the status, this in-between status of a kos that is not a chiyum, but is optional? But obviously it's a chiyum. The Ran calls it a mitzvah min hamuvchar, a different lishonos. If you look at the Or Chaim, it's late. I'm just going to tell you. Or Chaim discusses each stage of the geula, what each of the lishonos mean. You know, a physical geula, a spiritual geula, you know, which is connected to Avodas Hashem, right? Geula, and of course, till the Hevesi, which foreshadows, looks forward to a life in the national headquarters as a nation, full nation, in its headquarters, the Hevesi. But this idea of a mitzvah ben amuvkar, which isn't a chiyuv, and the idea that it is, whether you can say halagado depends on whether you identify this coast, or the other way, you could only say halagado if you're going to identify this coast, is an extremely challenging idea. The Sefer HaManig, you know, somewhat either downplays or, you know, makes a strong effort to differentiate between Hevesi and the other Lashonos Shel Geula, last line in the Ma'amig. He says, the Hevesi Eschem, he likes the position of the Raibid, but he adds, the Hevesi Eschem Eino Min Aminyan She'eino HaGeulos El Besoras Ha'aretz. It's not a Geula, it's Besoras Ha'aretz. However, if you look at the Bali Tosis Ala Torah, and I'm skipping many things, that's, I think, the last Mar Malkom. The Bali Tosas say, Dalit Kosas Keneged Dalit Geulos, Otsesi Tzalti Gaalti Lakachti, the Kos Kamishi Hainu, Leman the Tzorech Lemishdeh, Keneged Bebesi, Shegamu Geula, against the Mani. Kidomrina Ninshi, very fascinating, Man Demare Shachrare, who Musar Kol Didei Biyadei, when somebody frees a servant, and he gives him everything that he wants, Elo Aisi Lebeidare, if he can't bring it home, or he doesn't have a home, Mayahanile, Pirish, Evet Sheshachru Rabo, Umasa Gvio Biyado, Imlo Evio Lebeis Tiraso, Mamor Lo Kolatova Hakanami, Imlo Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osanu Le'eretz Yisrael, Mahayamor Lohem HaYitziya Shal Mitzrayim. So within the view that the fifth coast is a mitzvah ben amuvchar, right, there's a debate backly how, you know, much it is the culmination, you know, almost like the apex, if you appreciate it that way, of the process, or just something that adds to it and is different. There's a fascinating debate, la halacha, do you say halucha Hashem Elokeinu, which is the siyum of Hallel, when do you say that? So many of the farshim say you should say it on the fourth kos, even if you're drinking a fifth kos, because, you know, that's the chova, and that's where it belongs. Why would you, you know, omit it from the obligatory kos and put it on the, you know, controversial or, you know, at least the, you know, volunteer kos? However, there are some poskim who suggest that you do exactly that. You say halucha at the end of the fifth, implying a certain integration. When you have the fifth kos, it's playing a certain role. There are even those who suggest that you'll say halucha twice and it isn't a bracha lebatal. You say halucha after the fourth kos, and you'll say halucha after the fifth kos. I'm not going to document it, but you'll see in the tour, and that goes, if you look at the mefarshim, you'll find all these shittos. So what is with this fifth kos? Moreover, two other ha'aras. If you look at the Rambam's formulation, something very interesting emerges. Number one, the Rambam also thinks that there's a kiyum in the fifth kos. But it's also interesting that he integrates it with another halacha, says as follows. This is Perek Ches Halacha Yud, right after the Tshuvas Araibid. He says, that's normal. The Yeshlo Limzog Kos Chamishi, he should, not just that he could, but he should, the Lomar Olav Halala Gadol, Uhu Mehodul Hashem Kitov Ad Al Naros Babel. The koza eino michova kama arba kosos, but v'yeshlo ligmor hahala b'chol mokom shiirtza afal pish eino mokom seuda. So the Rambam has the fifth kos as something that is desirable, like the Raibid. Here he agrees with the Raibid. And then he adds another chiddush, and that is that you can conclude the halel in a venue that is different from the place that you're eating. The Rebbe doesn't like this last point. Omer Avram, ein adas mekabel eskein, ein kan shon shem la'arba kosos, im einam b'mokom echad. You have to drink all four kosos in the same place where you ate. Otherwise, what makes them four kosos? It's not clear to me, 100%, whether the Rambam thinks that you're allowed to change venues only in the fifth kos. Not sure about this. Or what the Rambam is saying is, even in the fourth kos, you can change venue. But still, it's curious that he only talks about it after introducing the fifth kos. So what's going on? One more point. So this is a little family lore. In the Maral Haggadah, which was put out originally, well, the known Maral Haggadah was put out by my great-grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda Yudel Rosenberg. He put it out at the parish of the Maral Gevuras Hashem Al Seder Haggadah. I don't know if he organized that or found that, I'm not sure. I don't know. And then he also published two other perushim, on the Haggadah. One is called the Shon Limudim and Divrei Negidim, which he said in the Hagdamah was the work of the son-in-law of the Maral. And this became a matter of some controversy years later. There are many people think that it isn't the work of the son-in-law of the Maral. So there's a lot of questions about the authenticity of this particular parish. In the Maral's Gevuras Hashem, he concludes that there should not be a fifth kos. And in the Lashon Limudim and the Divrei Negidim, there he very strongly pushes that there should be a fifth kos. He says, but it's different than the other kosos. Like, what is the explanation for it? And he emphasizes the kosei hu ashlamas ha-geula, ki achar shegolosam, hayu mefarnasam b'chol tzorcheyem, ve'viosam b'la menucha b'la nachla, le'eret zavas chalav u'dvash, ve'akol b'chlal ha-geula. Then he goes on to speak about Parnassa and Parnassa in Eretz Yisrael, and how difficult that is, living a natural life that Jews were intended maximally to live. And then finally, he has a suggestion, l'fikach nirali shekos hei dai sheyishto sorak rosh habayis bilvado, that only the person who says leads the Seder should drink the fifth kos. Kishefa Parnassa nishba rosh habayis and Parnas b'nei beso, etc. So this, I say, this is was put out by my great-grandfather, and who none of us met, but part of the family law. And my father used to, every year, on the second day, on the second Seder, he would drink the fifth kos as the person who led the Seder, based on the Divrei Negidim. Right? Remember that? Okay. But that's what happened. Until it became very controversial, what the source of this really was, and then at some point, in the last number of years, he stopped doing it. So we were all very connected to the principle of the five kosos as a matter of, it's really my mother's side, but my father adopted, some things from my mother's side. It's a function of his deep respect, for her rabbinic family. This issue of the Maral is something that we all grew up on. What's going on here? I think the answer is that the focal point, again, of the Haggadah, as we said, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's overwhelmingly true, all the details. And in a way that shouldn't distract from the experience. When it changes, said this in the past, is in the second half of Challah. Right? The fourth kos, after Birkas HaMazon, the fourth kos, when you're Gomer, Al Mitzvah Challah, that's not Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's universal. If you've put in the effort and you've invested, in the integrity of the experience, then when you reach already Hallel, the second Hallel, that's one of the reasons we split up Hallel. It's a controversial thing. We don't split up Hallel any other time. Chidush HaGrizi has a whole discussion. How can you split up Hallel? The Gaonim already asked this question. This Hallel Mitzri, which is part of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then there's the general Shevach V'Hodah of Hallel. The question is, how far do you go in that end of the Haggadah? So basically, the idea of the fifth kos of the Hadesi is if a person can identify, you know, the benefits of the enhancement of the Haftacha of Eretz Yisrael in a way that enhances his understanding and complements and completes Yitzias Mitzrayim at that point in the Seder, then if he wants to say Hodu Lashem Kitov, which has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's all about universal, it's about Parnasa, it's about you know, the focus of being an Oved Hashem, Al Naharos Bavel, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. If he wants now to connect the details of Yetzias Mitzrayim to his personal situation and to life, then at this point, according to those who fell, you're not going to say Hodu Lashem Kitov unless you're also going to drink a fifth kos. If you can save the Hebesi, if you can connect that to the promise and the benefit and the maximal hashgacha life, ki chelak Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalaso, the way the Ramban interprets it, Ramban's expansive view of Eretz Yisrael, or I'll say the Rambam's expansive view. The Yortzeit for my mother this year, I spoke about the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, and the fact that Yishuv Haaretz is something that he speaks about in Hilchos Malachim as part of the national life, as part of you. Maximalist utopian vision of life includes Yishuv Haaretz. Many people think that because the Rambam didn't count, you know, Yishuv Haaretz and Taryag Mitzvos, that somehow he's less committed to it than this is off. I don't know why. I don't know if we could do something about that. That he's somehow less committed to it than the Rambam. In my opinion, it's not true. He was committed to it equally, he just had a very different way of conveying it and reflecting it. If a person can connect and can see the Hevesi as a Geula and a Yeshua that is like the ultimate complement of all first four stages, you know, Chazal say that there's a whole discussion, you make a separate bracha on the Dalet Kosos. I once heard from Mori Barabi, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, it's really important, whatever the halachic reason is, that you make a separate Bori Pregafa on every one of the Dalet Kosos. It's a way of showing that Geula doesn't come in one fell swoop. There are stages. And each stage is connected to the previous stage, but each stage has a certain integrity, and you have to appreciate that as well. If you can see the Hebesi in that context, as part of that progression, and you can connect it to the things that Ba'i Ha'aretz, as opposed to Yotzei Mitzrayim, we're focused on, that already is a different matter. Then you can say Hodu Lashem Kitov. Or if you want to say Hodu Lashem Kitov, you have to have the perspective of the kos. And that's why the Rambam says that you can already move around. You don't have to be in the same place that you ate the matzah and the maror. If you're drinking a fifth kos, or in the same halakha that explains why you can drink a fifth kos, is explaining why in the very end of... can you somehow do it? Something? Yeah, I guess the battery did conk out. Okay. We apologize to the... to the Kahal Hazum, but we're happy to get you back. I think that's the pshat, and that's why it's a reshus, and that's why it's highly individualistic, and that's why it's connected to those parts of Hala. So if that's the case, what we've seen, I'm going to try to wrap this up, is that really, Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, Tzav L'Tzav, Kav L'Kav, each stage of the Geula, the focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim, if you go too quickly, you know, to the end, right, then you don't even understand the end. True Cheirus is when you have your own home, when you have your own sovereignty, when... not only are you technically freed from an oppressor, but to use the Ibn Ezra's, you know, perspective, when you don't see the people chasing you as oppressors either. And being in your own land, exactly the way Bali Tosis explained it, and we've experienced that certainly in our time since Kuba Medina, the sense that we have a home, that with all the difficulties, with all the crises, with all the concerns and the worries and the investment that needs to be made in it, that Eretz Yisrael as the collective home of the Jewish people has really transformed the way that we look at our lives as individuals and especially as a nation, both in terms of emuna, hashkacha, cheirus, all the elements that are part of Yetzias Mitzrayim reach a certain crescendo, but only if you give proper due to the process along the way, only if it's in the second half of Hallel, and only if the Hodu Lashem Kitov is connected to a Kos Chamishi, which you perceive in this particular way. You know, many people have the tendency, you know, when they're very ardent Zionists, you know, to go a little bit overboard too, you know, to read Kipshuto, you know, Kol Adar B'chutz La'aretz Kibisha Eino Eloka, or the Sifrei in Parshas Eked. You know, the trend of, you know, Shlilata Gola, to kind of downplay or minimize, you know, the life in the Gola that has produced so much scholarship and so many great Chachmei HaMesorah. It doesn't detract from the greatness and the, you know, indispensable contribution of life in Eretz Yisrael to acknowledge the steps along the way and the great people and the great works and the events that all are part of Klal Yisrael and that in the end enhance and are enhanced by our presence in Eretz Yisrael itself. So while, again, I wouldn't say that, you know, Kol HaGadah Tzionut, but the foreshadowing of Eretz Yisrael and the connection of Eretz Yisrael in these and in a few other dimensions really enhances our appreciation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the night of Pesach. So this is a tribute to my father, who, as I say, was a lifelong, passionate religious Zionist, and very involved in the Mizrahi movement and life in Eretz Yisrael. My father spent an inordinate amount of drushos, really, on the themes of Eretz Yisrael. I remember as a little boy, back in Toronto, you know, in the time when there was the Vietnam War, you know, I remember my father's, I used to, you know, joke with him, you know, his Vietnam-Israel drushos, I used to call it, where he was reminding people, before 1967, you know, that life in Eretz Yisrael is the most important thing for Jews to be focused on, as much as it's important for them to be politically active in a proper way, you know, in current events. There was an inordinate level, high level of aliyah, both in my father's shul in Toronto, as well as in Kew Gardens, you know, in New York. And the fact that he spoke so much about Eretz Yisrael and so passionately, so forcefully, so unequivocally about it, really, you know, reflected, you know, that aspect of his life and really impacted three of his five children and some grandchildren from the other two live in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, that partly was difficult for him, especially, you know, as he became older. But it was something that he and my mother were, you know, very, very, very proud of. And it's really, as I say, a tribute to him. You know, my father, when he would listen to the news, you know, when I listen to the news or when I read the newspaper, you know, I sometimes get very personally upset. It's almost like a personal affront, you know, the way that things are presented. And I realize that it's really something that I inherited from my father. Like, he took personally, you know, when the New York Times or any other outlet, you know, misrepresented what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. For him, it really was personal. So as we're on the cusp of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, with its focus on the event itself and on everything, you know, that is unique about it and the immense contribution through Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos and Hashkacha and Amunah, to appreciate even further, especially as we go through the experiences of, you know, our generation, that Eretz Yisrael is always intended, it was foreshadowed, it was intended to be a goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, And of course, in the context of Bikurim, right, it provided the perspective and the crown to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the same way that the fifth kos, even if you don't drink it, the principle behind it and the discussion of the Rishonim really reflects these ideas. So thank you very much, and I wish everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.